Introducing the amazing iPhone XS you'll love on T-Mobile, the most loved in wireless. It's the perfect way to stay connected to those you heart most. Fall in love with iPhone XS on T-Mobile. And right now, trade in an eligible iPhone and you'll save $300. Visit a store or call 1-800-T-MOBILE.
If you cancel service, remaining balance is due. Qualifying service and finance agreements required. $279.99 down plus 30 per month times 24. Full price $999.99. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers plus tax on full price. Allow 8 weeks for rebate.
Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Welcome to Ask the Pastor Now. I'm Jim Simmons, and let me be one of the first to wish you a blessed Christmas. What's your Christmas like? Going fantastic, or just wish it would go? You know, it's so interesting. What would be your ideal Christmas? What a great question. And, Pastor, I just think about, you know, the old Norman Rockwell paintings. That perfect Christmas would be one all of us gathered around the table, getting ready to eat and having a prayer, and in the background seeing the Christmas tree with all the gifts. Through the window, we can see snow, we can see frost, and everybody with a great big smile. And as you remember, Norman Rockwell always put a lot of color in everybody's face, the glow and the smiles. And so that, I can't get that out of my head, but it would be just so wonderful if we could be around people that are like-minded, that realize there's more to this life than just what we're seeing here. There is a phenomenal place that we'll be taken to, drawn up, and we will live in eternity in the presence of our Lord and Savior and our God. And I just think that that, to me, would be an ideal Christmas, that we would invite somebody to be a part of this and know that one day they will accept Jesus Christ and be with us. So, Merry Christmas to all. I just can't wait to get into this program. Christmas is very special and, to be honest, highly emotional. By that, I don't mean something negative. I mean the real Christmas touches your heart. Let's spend some time finding out what the Bible, God's Word, says about Christmas. Let's continue by welcoming Pastor Charles and having him join us right now. Merry Christmas, Pastor.
Well, Merry Christmas. Thank you so much. And thank you for not qualifying it, restricting it, you know, and making it so politically correct that you can't even find the message anymore. I think that's so important. Why not be proud and happy about Christmas? Christmas is a special, incredible time of season. And as believers in Jesus Christ, who else is in a better position to celebrate his birth? You know, it's just an amazing thing. You know, realize about it. A couple has a child and they send out birth announcements. Chances are they don't send them out to people who just flat don't care. And you send them out to the people that are excited with you. And so to me, that's Christmas time. We celebrate because we understand what we're talking about. You know, it's not just a pretty tree. It's not just decorations. It is the birth of Christ. And you can't help but get excited about that aspect of it. You know, Jim, I had one of the notes I woke up to this morning that I thought was so nice was somebody who had seen a video that was posted yesterday on a YouTube channel, and it was simply the Bible study lesson from this past weekend. But what was particularly fun about it is they said they were just so grateful to hear something about Christmas that was posted that was really about Christmas. And I thought, you know, on the one hand, it's a shame that there's an element of reality to that, but I'm also very grateful that there are people putting Christmas postings out and Christmas tweets and Christmas Facebook pages and everything else. We need to get that word out. The word has been going out ever since, you know, Dr. Luke made his draft about it. And it's just exciting to realize that we still have this incredible message to share. And, you know, I think the injustice of being upset about Christmas time being rather merchandised, the injustice of that is I think Christians have helped to let it happen. And we need to realize that, you know, why are we upset at the world for not understanding the message? We're the ones that are supposed to be communicating it. So if the world's gotten the wrong message, we just need to sort of clear our throat and take a fresh look and make sure we're speaking truth and we're speaking it clearly. You know, I think of that passage from the Old Testament that speaks of the fact that, you know, the danger of the trumpeter who's not clear. And in the old cities of that time, along the walls, there would be trumpeters who, when there was dangers, they would sound the trumpet. And so that message of what good is it if it's an unclear trumpet? In other words, if the person who's supposed to announce, watch out, we're under attack, this is what's going on, if they don't get a good clean signal out and to let people know it's time to fight, what good is it? And I'm not saying that Christmas time is a time to fight, though in some homes you might wonder about that. What I'm talking about is that we have a wonderful, powerful, clear message that Jesus is the Christ and he has come. And we should be speaking about that message. And so I think that's very important for us to realize and for us to remember. I agree with what you said about Christmas being highly emotional. And I also agree that it's not a negative. It can be. But if all people think of about Christmas is just, you know, emotion and fear and what's it going to be like, and I don't have enough to make it special, come back home to the basics. Realize, remember that the whole point of Christmas is to celebrate the birth of Christ, to help get that word out. You know, I think it's interesting. I moved out of the Washington, D.C. area many years ago. It's hard to believe sometimes how many years ago, but what was fun that particular Christmas is that the year before that, I think everybody was totally stressed out by the time Christmas rolled around. Just everybody trying to get the right Christmas presents. And so we made a decision at that time. All the families were together and exhausted and tired and trying to have Christmas there that afternoon. And we made this agreement. And that was that we would give no gift next Christmas unless we had made it. And so, you know, some people said, oh, that's great, because they were good with handcrafts and stuff. And others said, you know, I don't know about that. I don't make some of this. But we agreed. I said, it doesn't matter. If you don't make it, don't give it. And then some people said, well, you know, what about children? That's an exception for the children. No, if you haven't made it, don't give it. And the funny thing is, it made Christmas last all year long, because all year long people were trying to think of things they could do. And there was, you know, we had family members who had never done a handcraft in their life that started thinking like, well, then what can I do? You know, and such incredible creativity came about that following year. And it made, as far as gift giving, it was hilarious and it was fun. But you know, the best part of all, somehow, since nothing was rushing around to the stores, we all had time to think about the real purpose of Christmas, the real message of Christmas. And even the gifts invariably had so much more heart in them that the message of Christmas started coming through and the gifts were the secondary thing. Because anything you touch, you realize somebody had spent time this past year trying to make sure that your Christmas would be special.
Yep.
So about right now, because, you know, we broadcast on Thursdays, we rebroadcast on Fridays, and we'll probably turn around air this again on Christmas evening. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, during the time of this live broadcast, somewhere in this country, maybe in the world, there is a student somewhere who is hustling, trying to figure out, when can I get out? When have I taken my last class? Can I be on the road to get home for Christmas? We've got military folks that are, you know, trying to get every possible connecting flight just to be home for Christmas. We've got people wrapping up business and everything just to be home. There's something very warm and special about that. But we also have many, many people who will not be home for Christmas except by thoughts, prayers, heart, because for the sake of all of us to be free and safe, they are deployed somewhere, risking their lives, giving their time, doing what is needed so we can be safe. And so, Jim, I'm going to ask you, as we begin our message today, as we begin our time together, and you open us in prayer for that, would you also please remember to pray for those who are serving our nation, just so the rest of us can be free, and let them know that we want God's hand on them, that they will be safe, protected, and feel the love that we send out to them this very moment.
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads and our hearts, Lord, and just love to put the image in our minds of some young man, some young woman in a foreign country tonight who is standing in the gap, protecting this country by being over seas and over there, as we used to say in song. But Father, their families are back here doing life without them, struggling. The wages are not enough. And we just see that person lonely and worried and thinking about their family. We hold them up to you, Father. They could be on the deck of a ship, in a submarine, on a field, in a bunker. Who knows? Only you, Father. You know where each and every one of our people are that are standing in the gap. We ask you, Lord God, put your hand on them and protect them and to reassure them that their efforts are going noticed, not unnoticed. Father, our prayer tonight, I want to just read this prayer because in your word, in the book of Revelation, you have given us some great words. And it's reassuring. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And I wept much. I think, Father, that is our feeling. Who is worthy? I wept much because no man was found worthy to open, to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Lord God, thank you for Jesus Christ, who is worthy, who is the Lamb of Judah, of the book, Father, that you gave us, the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ. We pray this prayer that you're worthy. Jesus is worthy of our praise. It's in the name that's above all names that we make this prayer. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jim, so much for that. Whether you are with family, whether you are alone with seemingly strangers, or maybe people who have become your extended family because of where you're at, or whether you really are feeling alone, we just want you to know that there is reason to have joy, to have confidence and peace and understanding, to know the love of God, and to know that our prayers and our hearts are with you this day. We cannot help but be excited by that fact. And so we don't want you to feel lonely at this moment. There's a difference between being alone and being lonely. And so join us in taking our eyes and our ears off of the world and begin to turn them to Jesus Christ, and to really experience the joy that is Christmas. So many years ago, there was a man named Watts. Isaac Watts was an English writer, and he is a source of many hymns. And he was particularly inspired by Psalm 98 and 96, and even Genesis. And in there, he talked about and read about the praise, the worship that can be found in God. and a tremendous thing. Just reasons to have joy, reasons to celebrate, reasons to be excited about what God was and is doing. So why not let's just take a moment as we get started just to enjoy one of the pieces of music that really is the message of Christmas by declaring joy to the world. Incredible when you think about that hymn. Think about those words. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the grounds. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. That's the real message of Christmas, the real reason to celebrate and have joy. And Jim, what do you think about when you think about that powerful hymn?
Pastor, I'm glad you brought that up because I would like you to delineate joy and happiness. And I'll give you my unlearned opinion there. But when I think of happiness, I think of being buffered by the outside circumstances. In other words, I'm happy when I see something or hear something. But joy, I think, is grander and comes from a different source. Would you delineate the difference between that happiness, as I don't know another way to say it, happiness versus joy?
No, I think I follow what you mean by that. You know, I heard the acronym years ago for joy, and J-O-Y, Jesus, Others, and You. And I said that, you know, if you put those in the right sequences, suddenly things get a little bit better. And but to me, really what the difference is that happiness really revolves around circumstances, what's going on around you. Joy is confidence of knowing God's taking care of it, you know, and I don't have to be worried about it. For some reason, I guess maybe it fit into the lesson this past weekend, but I found myself going back to a memory of a Christmas I had some time ago. Pleased to say there's been some years since then because, like I say, somehow it doesn't hurt as much as the years go by. But I recall getting up bright and early. At the time, I was living on the Mississippi coast, and where I lived, I was about an hour to an hour and a half from the church I was involved with, long drive. But it's just the way things had worked out at the time. And so I remember Christmas fell on a Sunday and getting up bright and early that Sunday morning and, well, not bright, but dark and early because it was still dark when I got up and drove for that time to be for a sunrise service up at that church. And we had a wonderful time and it was great and spent just about all the day there and then came back late that night. When I came back home, I noticed when I even got to the neighborhood, it was all dark. And as I came on in, even the apartments where I lived was dark, and I opened that door, and cold water came rushing out, and even a Christmas present from under the tree came out to greet me, floated out, because sometime during the night and the morning hours, things had begun to freeze, and sometime while I was gone, pipes had burst, and the fire department came out. They were real helpful. They had them turn off all the electricity, so all the water was still there. And, you know, no electric shocks of any sort like that. So my insurance didn't cover anything. But what was really interesting was that I wound up spending between Christmas Day and New Year's Day emptying out that apartment and getting moved to a new place to live. and moved closer to the church. And it seems like people came out of the woodwork to help that I just didn't know cared that much. And it sometimes happened in such moments, people that I thought would care were distant. They were suddenly unavailable for fear I might ask for help. But, or at least that's how it felt at the time. But it was amazing how God worked. And so on Christmas Day, to just about either lose everything or at least have it washed down in cold water, in fact, between that Sunday and the following Saturday, stuff literally started to freeze inside the apartment. So about Wednesday, you know, this is in the days of shag carpet, I could walk across that shag carpet and hear it breaking under my feet because it had frozen. And so now let me take you back to Sunday night when I opened the door and the water and the presence came out to meet me. I did not have happiness at that moment. I'll be honest with you. Mr. Happy was not there, but Joy was. Joy suddenly realized, even in this, God will take care of it, you know.
Yeah.
And found a hotel room for the night and called to let somebody know I won't be in the morning, you know. And over the next few days, just saw time and time again how God answered. In fact, Sunday night, you know, was spent at a hotel. Monday night was spent in a new house. You know, I was amazed that by the time I got up to the little town where I thought this may be the time to relocate, when I got there, there was somebody who had already found a real estate agent and found a house I could rent, and the rent was less than what I'd been paying at the apartment, believe it or not.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And got it in there, and the rental agent apologized, said, I know you need to get in quick, but, you know, it's going to take time to get the utilities on and everything. Went inside that house, and like I say, it had been a cold snap enough to freeze and burst pipes. Went in that house, and it was cozy and warm inside. Could not believe it. And that was without the utilities on yet. Spent the night in that house that Monday night and transitioned that move, and over that week just saw God answer time and time again. My point being, Joy was there every day, including the days that were at its worst. Happiness wasn't always there, but Joy was. Yeah, and, you know, I remembered driving across the Bay St. Louis Bridge. Some of our Mississippi listeners know about that place. And it's a long bridge, and I remember going across it in this high gust of wind. One of the men from the church had come out, and he had a flatbed trailer and had loaded stuff up on there, taking a load back. And I was behind him. There's no way to signal or stop him to say, we need to do something real quick. And as we drove across the bridge, the wind gusts were taking stuff off the back of his trailer and blowing him out into the Bay St. Louis. And so I was looking at my books, and nothing is as precious to a writer or a pastor than his books, it seems like. And to see my books flying off in gusts of wind and landing out in the water, you know, it was a bit disheartening.
Yeah.
But Joy kicked in halfway across, and I got to thinking and said, you know, on the bright side, there's a school of fish that's got a new library now. So, you know, that's the big difference. And, you know, I realize there are folks that are having a meager Christmas from the standpoint of stuff. In fact, here's some folks reminding us of how some of their more lean Christmas.
We have no chimney in our house, which all us kids regret.
So on Christmas Eve, we hang our socks on the television set.
So, I mean, you may have Christmases like that, you know. No fireplace, you know. I mean, I've had a couple of Christmases where they were cardboard foxes. You know, we decorated to make it pretend it had a fireplace. And, yeah, I mean, you know, just having the rabbit ears. And now that will create some conversations in some homes that are listening to this. What are rabbit ears, you know?
Right.
But, you know, that's a different time. For some of our listeners right now, it's not so different. It's a lean Christmas. And you might feel like you can only lean on the wall because there's nobody to lean to. You're just alone. But no, again, you might be by yourself, but please do not think you're alone. I've had those Christmases, and you got to understand, no, the whole purpose of Christmas is to know that Christ has come, and you're not alone. And even if the rest of those people around you haven't gotten the message yet, you have. And celebrate that. Christmases can be very different from today. Make no mistake about it. You know, yeah. I've had Christmases that I celebrated in a motel room because I was on the road somewhere and could not get all the way back home. I've had them where I did get to be with family. I've had them where I celebrated with otherwise total strangers. And, you know, I've had them where I was having to, you know, just simply watch monitors and controls. You know, I've had Navy days when, you know, you were just doing what you had to do so others were okay. And I've had times when, you know, I was with the police department and sheriff's department for a while, so I know what it is to be out patrolling the streets, you know, when everybody else is just going to grandma's house, you know. And so, yeah, we always have this unique variety of holidays and ways to observe them. You know, one of the best things I've experienced in the last 2 weeks is we have some homebounds. All the pastors take turns visiting their homebound people and checking on them every month, but also especially at Christmas. And this year, inspired by some folks that I know that spend a lot of time going into shelters and such, I went and to visit my homebound folks, but then also went to a care facility and where I didn't really know the people were there, but I just spent time with them. And that was, I had some leave to burn, and that's how I chose to burn it. And it was just a wonderful thing, you know. I didn't know those people. You know, who's to say they will ever remember my name from anybody? But for that little while, we got to have Christmas together. We got to just fellowship together, and I got to hear their stories and their past and how they're dealing with life right now. You see, we're never as low or alone as we think we are. And what we need to be reminded of sometimes is get out beyond ourselves. That's that joy business again. Jesus, others, you. Get out from amongst our own seeming hurt, and some of those hurts are very real. I'm acknowledging that. But, you know, camping out there doesn't make it any better. But if you can somehow find a way to get involved in somebody else's life and try to encourage them, you'd be surprised. Sometimes I just have to batten down the hatches and have a little shelter of my own to recoup and recharge. And mm-hmm. God and I spend that time together. Other times I can get out and just celebrate the fact that we are, in fact, together. So that's a nice time, too. A nice time to find things that are different. Find things. If you're feeling particularly alone, then invest your time in somebody else who, believe it or not, is feeling that loneliness far greater. And you can help put a stop to it for a time. And I think, Jim, that's what that old hymn was talking about. God rest you, merry gentlemen. You know, let nothing you dismay. You know, I think that's the idea of it. It's an old hymn, but an old, strong, and powerful message.
Right.
Take a rest. Don't let the things around you defeat you. Don't let those things just make you feel like there's no reason to keep trying. Oh, there's always a reason to keep moving forward. There is always one more chance to let God work through you and touch his life. So we'll take a moment and we'll rest and then we'll come back.
Christmas from Jim and Charles on Ask the Pastor Now.
Well, would you agree with me, Jim, that that is a great message, just to take your rest in Christ and to realize that there are other people that we can be ministering to?
You know, Pastor, I heard, you know, there were no words. It was instrumental, but I could remember the words comfort and joy. And so many times you were talking about being alone, and I really enjoy sometimes being alone, but I never feel lonely in that regard. Because do you find yourself during the day just kind of talking to God and saying, God, what are you up to right now in my life? When something's going wrong, I've heard Pastor Charles Stanley over in Atlanta, who I love to listen to, great pastor, and he talks about whatever's going on in your life that's disturbing you, got you upset, got you nervous, got you worried. He said, view it. He said, view everything that comes into your life. Now, this is if you're a Christian. If you're not, we'll show you later how the Bible teaches how to become a Christian. But he said, view everything that comes into your life as either being sent by God or allowed by God to grow you up in the likeness of Christ. And he says, many times I'll say, Father, what are you up to? You know, he doesn't look at it as something bad. He says, I'm trying to understand what you're trying to teach me by this circumstance, by being alone. And, you know, Pastor, it has really helped me because there are times, you know, I am on commission all of my life. 40-plus years I have been on commission, never knowing what the paycheck's going to be. There's been good times and bad times, but you know what? Here I am. I have never missed a meal. I have everything I, and these are key words, I think, things I need versus things I want. And I would just like you to take a second, Pastor, if you would, and help me, help those that are listening, perhaps even later from the archive when they pull this up, help me understand that what we see on television, I mean, we spend hours in front of a television. We spend hours on the media doing all sorts of things, I guess, to stay connected. Help us understand how that distorts reality, because I see people on the beach running and having a good time, on a boat, cruise. I see them on these vacation venues. Everybody on TV is smiling and having a good time, but that's not reality. Tell us why we have such a distorted view of what the media is showing us and what reality is and how that messes our minds up as to what we should or shouldn't be doing.
All right. Let me take you back in time, okay? Crank all the special effects up. Go back in time. I don't actually remember the event other than the next day of it because I was the only smart person in the house. I was fast asleep. But, you know, the rest of the family was up because they had this wild idea that there was going to be a train around the tree. All right. So that's what I was going to wake up to see the next morning. Now, what was so fun about this, this is Christmas night they decide to put the tree up and the train around the tree, rather. And so my impression in retrospect is apparently nobody there had ever put a train together. And they're getting the box out, and they got the train tracks, and they laid those down, and they get the train cars, and they laid those down. They get the transformer, they set that up. And it was about this time they were realizing there was something not in the box. And what was not in the box was the wires that run from the transformer to the train track. Oops. And if you've ever had a toy train track, one of the things you know is you have to connect the transformer to the track or the train is not going to go anywhere. And right. There they were, you know, on Christmas Eve past 9 o'clock, trying to find some place to get a couple of wires or, you know, and there just were no extra wires around the house, anything like that. So you can only imagine the desperation of, you know, parents and older siblings trying to figure out how we're going to make this train work. And it all revolved around the simple fact that they didn't have all the parts. There was a key part missing. Seemed like a simple thing, but without it, it just wasn't going to work. And the world comes along and tries to tell us how to have Christmas, how to have a happy life, a wonderful life, and they've left a key part out of it that seemed so basic, just a baby. Well, it wasn't just a baby. It was the Christ child. It was a Savior that had been born. You take him out of the mix, however simplistic that may seem to you, and it's just not going to happen because you have taken away the connection to the power in that one moment, and it's not going to happen. So we need to understand that. You know, I think it was Linus, one of the characters from the old Peanuts things. He talks about, you know, that he doesn't get a Christmas card this day, And he says, how isn't it just like the world to create, you know, a holiday just to emphasize that no one likes me? You know, that's the feeling that we can have if we're not careful, you know. That,
yeah.
In fact, we have that little clip here for it. This is what
rats. Nobody sent me a Christmas card today. I almost wish there weren't a holiday season. I know nobody likes me. Why do we have to have a holiday season to emphasize it?
Well, no, that is not what's going on at Christmas, folks. It's just the opposite. It's a day that we chose to celebrate just to let everybody know there is someone who cares about you. They do so much more than like you. They love you. That's God, and that's His Son. That's the very Spirit of God indwelling you. So, no, this is not a day to celebrate that you're alone. This is a day to celebrate that you are not alone. Because think about it. Were it not for Christ, all of us would be alone trying to figure out how will we survive. But with Christ, we have joy, we have peace, we have this incredible understanding. In fact, the Bible describes it like this. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be taxed. And this taxing first was made at Cyrenius, the governor of Syria. And all went out to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone from unto heaven, the shepherds heard one said to another, Let us now go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they which heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Sometimes we need that silence. Sometimes life has gotten so hectic we need to just pull back and have some quiet. But it's also pretty exciting to have the noise of Christmas. Jim, you not only have children, you have grandchildren. So I think you can appreciate the noise of Christmas better than most. Tell me, what will it be like with all the children and grandchildren around?
Well, thank you, Pastor, for mentioning them, because every time you do, you talk about joy. I just sound like my dad used to sound, and it's amazing how you catch on after you get older. But there is a difference between happiness and joy. Joy is, I pray for them, as you know, every morning, and I ask God's hand on my family and my friends and my church and pastors. And it is just a wonderful time to watch as these children start to, their personality begins to emerge. And they understand, these kids, Pastor, understand what giving gifts is all about. And it's so interesting to see them open presents, and you just love to watch them because you've spent time buying something. They don't need it. These kids are never going to need it, but the joy and excitement, I think, is more for me and Sonia and my daughter Jo and Ashley. We all just enjoy these kids so much. I love to see my son-in-law. He's twice as big as I am. This guy is just a mountain, strong as an ox, and to see him melt as these kids emerge and begin to enjoy. But Christmas, it's so interesting. You spend this money on toys and presents. And what do they like the most, Pastor? You remember this.
Oh,
the
yes.
Box.
The box.
They like the wrapping paper. They wear the wrapping paper as a helmet, and it's just so much fun. But there is a lot of noise. And then later that evening when they're put to bed and a smile breaks out on your face and you think, by the grace of God, I live in a country that protects us, a country that others are dying to come to. And we know that as a Christian nation, God's hand is on us. What would it be like, Pastor, if our God's hand was not on this nation or on this country? What would it be like? And we have never known that. We have enjoyed as much as it can be peace in this land. What would it be like if God took his hand off?
Oh, that's frightening to even think about. And really, that is all that is between us and some of the devastation that could be encountered. And so we are grateful to the sounds of Christmas, whether that's children or traffic or silver bells, as the old song said. You know, all those
right.
things come together, and it makes Christmas special. You know, I was so surprised the other day. I can't say I stumbled across it because I was looking for it. I was on YouTube and found a recording of, I was looking for some Christmas music to use in a little Bible study session while people were waiting to get seated. And I came across this recording from 1958. And the reason that was so important to me, it was just an organ and chimes. Somebody playing the chimes and somebody playing the organ. So that seemed so basic. But I remember that my mother had this old album, and she would put that on when the day we put the tree up and decorated the tree, and she played it again. I guess she was saving it for posterity, I don't know, but then she played it again on Christmas morning. And so no sooner had, you know, I heard that tune, I knew it was safe to get up, and we were able to be around the tree and begin our Christmas day and all the fragrances of her preparing things and making life special. And hearing those tunes, you know, and so I went searching on the internet and found that old recording somebody had put out there with no visuals other than the album cover and the music playing. And, oh, I can't tell you how there was just a flood of memories just to hear those tunes again. You know, they were not the finest choir in the world or the greatest orchestra in the world, but it was some great, incredible memories just to hear that again. And so that's one of those sounds, the noises of Christmas, that come together and really remind us to be thankful. You know, and I think, you know, why does it still stay with me after all these years? Why is the message of Christmas so important? Because, you know, I had a mother who was faithful in delivering the message, and I have had pastors over the years, and, you know, maybe they changed somewhat over time, but the message was there. And the message of Christ has to be faithfully retold and told and shared so that we can celebrate the real powerful message of Christmas that is so important, that there is a Christ child who came. The baby wasn't going to save us, but his life, his willing to shed that life for us, that is the grace of God, paying our sin debt that we could not pay. We never would have had enough to pay it with, and he lived a life that could pay it. The Son of God gave his best for us. That's how much he loved us, and that's why at Christmas time we're gathered together, the faithful, to celebrate, to remember, and to give thanks. That's the reason we can do it. It's so powerful to understand that we truly do have this amazing and wonderful blessing.
Merry Christmas from Jim and Charles on Ask the Pastor Now.
So I trust you are having a merry and blessed and wonderful Christmas time. Jim, your thoughts? Anything special when you think of Christmas? What first pops to mind?
You know, Pastor that you and I both admire for his strict preaching of God's word right out of the Bible. And one of the things that you've always taught us on this program is it's not my opinion, your opinion, it's God's word that matters. And it's the most effective tool we have to bring others to that saving knowledge of Christ. And I just remember Dr. Ed Young here in Houston, he made a comment that I'll never forget. I can hardly say it without crying. He said, "Christmas is the day God came down the staircase of heaven with a baby in his arms." And he talks about the perfect gift, expresses the character of the giver, God, and meets the needs of the recipient, and that is Jesus Christ. He was and is the perfect gift, the most sacred gift, the greatest gift. We lose enough adjectives to really explain it, but we recognize what a precious gift. And we said earlier how it would be different. And I just imagine there was a friend of mine who I said something like, "Well, I'll pray for you," or "God bless you," or something. And she said, "Yeah, if you believe that." she dismissed it pretty quickly.
Oh.
I said, "Karen, do you don't believe in Christ and Jesus?" And she says, "Nah," she says, "I'm not a believer, no." And I said, "Well, what do you think happens when you die? Do they toss some dirt on you and the lights go out and that's it?" And in my mind, that's what it would be like. There's no more. And I can't imagine not existing. But that's exactly what she said. She says, "I don't believe there's any more to life." Now, in my heart, Pastor, I doubted her. I don't believe her. She was raised up and she understands it, but in a strict and maybe we could speak to that today, because there are some that have a bad taste in their mouth because religion got in the way of the true message of Christmas. And I just think about her, and I think there's many others today that would say, "That's it. The lights go out and that's it. That's why I'm going to have a good time while I'm here, because there's nothing else." What would you say to that person?
Wow. First of all, you know, you're not going to have that good a time here. I mean, are there happy days? Are there exciting days? There sure there are. But you know what I've always been amazed by that people tend to forget? Somewhere during the still of the night, you're going to be alone with your thoughts. And mm-hmm. in those thoughts, you're going to feel a desperate loneliness. You may not like it, but that's reality. Outside of Christ, there is loneliness. There is, you know, why do you think when people go to bars and clubs, the first thing they do is the lights are down? Because they don't want you to be bothered by light. They don't want you to see all the imperfections. It's eating people up. And you've got to realize there is more to life than darkness. There is more to life than stuff. There is Jesus the Christ. That is the whole reason we have Christmas, just to know that this wonderful, incredible gift, as you said a moment ago, was brought down from heaven, and here is this child. It's an amazing thing, that incredible, that amazing holy night that has literally changed the world and lives within that world. Every day you make a choice. Every day you decide, I'm going to try to do it on my own here in this world, and it just doesn't work, or you decide, enough. I'm turning it over to Christ. I'm giving my life to Christ. I want to have that changed life, that redemption. We only can do that because of that one special holy night that came about. So we're going to think on that for just a moment, and when we come back, I'm going to ask Brother Jim to do something very special. I want him to go through and share how you can know Christ, how you can have him as Savior. And then I also want him to let us just give thanks to those who are giving their lives, living those lives for us so we can be free.
You know, Pastor, I really appreciate the opportunity to share the plan of salvation. That seems kind of trite when you say plan of salvation, like I can do it real quickly. But no, there is a lot that went into this. And I don't think, Pastor, you're a PhD, you're a gifted pastor and teacher. I don't think you would have decided, hey, I've got a perfect way that I can remain holy. I'm thinking as if God's speaking. Here's how I can remain holy and still save my people that I love so much. Who would have ever in a human mind ever conceived such a way as to transfer all that responsibility, all that sin and corruption onto another person? We would call that a scapegoat. He's taken my, So what did God do? He gave us the perfect solution, one that we could not have thought of on our own and certainly couldn't have designed it and pulled it off and made it work. But God did, and here's what he did. He said, if you'll confess your sins, with the mouth you confess your sin. I have gone astray. I have done wrong. I have sinned against you, God. The Lord Jesus confessed that Lord Jesus is salvation, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So you confess, God forgives you instantly. He doesn't make you grovel. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, he is still alive. He sits at the right hand of God, the Bible teaches us. And then he goes on. This is in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. You can look it up to see if I'm reading it correctly. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Heavenly Father, we pray this very moment that if they prayed this prayer, they are saved. Pastor, can they ever lose that salvation? And thank the men and women in arms today.
No, they absolutely cannot. They totally realize that our salvation is in Christ, and God is the one who also keeps our salvation. And that's why he said in his word that he can, you know, we can neither lose it, that neither life nor death nor angels or principalities or powers or things present or things to come could ever take away our salvation. And we do express our gratitude to those who are serving our country, keeping us safe.
Yes.
And we're going to close out with a little rendition from something that I have to play and then close for the simple reason it's so touching, so powerful, that neither Jim and I can hear it without crying. I hope it touches your heart. Merry Christmas.
It was the night before Christmas. He lived all alone in a one-bedroom house made of plaster and stone. I had come down the chimney with presents to give, and to see just who in this dwelling did live. I looked all around, a strange sight to see. No tinsel, no presents, not even a tree. No stockings on the mantel, just boots filled with sand. On the wall hung pictures of far distant lands. Medals and badges, awards of every kind. A sobering thought came alive in my mind. This house was different. It was dark, it was dreary. I had found the home of a soldier. I could see that most clearly. The soldier lay sleeping, silent, alone, curled up on the floor in this one-bedroom home. His face was so gentle, the room in such disorder, not at all how I pictured a United States soldier. Was this the hero of whom I'd just read, curled up on a poncho, the floor for a bed? Then I realized the other families that I saw this night owed their lives to soldiers who were willing to fight. In the morning round the world, children would play. Grown-ups would celebrate a bright Christmas day. But they all enjoy freedom each month of the year because of soldiers like the one lying here. I couldn't help but wonder how many lay alone on a cold Christmas Eve in lands far from home. The very thought brought a tear to my eye. I dropped to my knees and I started to cry. The soldier awakened. I heard his rough voice. Santa, don't cry. This life is my choice. I fight for freedom. I don't ask for more. My life is my God, my country, my core. The soldier rolled over and drifted to sleep. But I couldn't control it and I continued to weep. I kept watch for hours, so silent and still, as both of us shivered from the cold night's chill. I didn't want to leave him on that cold, dark night, this guardian of honor, so willing to fight. Then the soldier rolled over, with a voice soft and pure. He whispered, "Carry on, Santa. Christmas Day, all secure." One look at my watch, I knew he was right. Merry Christmas, my friend. May God bless you this night.
Thank you.
thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question